Well, good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is wonderful to be gathered here today and be able to turn our hearts and our minds toward this incredible God that we serve. It's quite a Sunday. Lots going on today. It's our celebration Sunday for our Vacation Bible School. So another amazing week. And I keep asking Lauren for numbers, and I don't think she knows yet. She still has to like look at papers and tally things up and stuff. But it's going to be someplace around 250 to 270 kids gathered together. And it was a fabulous week. No major mishaps. Everybody was healthy and happy all week long. Wonderful stuff. And most of all, Jesus was proclaimed, and the children had a fabulous time. So good times. It's also Trinity Sunday, the Sunday where we remember the triune nature of our God and how he has presented himself to us. And we're going to be talking later in the message about how that fits into the plan of salvation, even, you know, that this Trinitarian God is the God that rescued us. And what else is going on this Sunday? Let's see here. Oh, yeah, we're also commissioning the mission trips and the kids who are going to the National Youth Gathering today as well. So, you know, it's like mission done. It's now to the next thing. And so basically I get from Monday until Thursday to regroup and get ready for a mission trip. Friday morning, we're taking the kids and heading to Arizona. So my dad's going to be covering the preaching while I'm gone, and it's going to be a good time. I can't wait to come back and tell you all the stories. So with that, guys, we are here to worship a God, worship a God that is moving and in action, working through his people to do his good work on this world. And we get to be those people. We've been invited in to this ministry, to this work of God in this world. And so as we begin this morning, let us remember the day that we were brought into his family as the name of our Trinitarian God was spoken over us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are a good God, God above all, a God that has plans that we can't even imagine, and that you've been working out your plans in this world for thousands of years, Lord, and that you're continuing to do so. And Lord, we thank you that your plan is that we would be here, and that your plan is that we are going, Lord, to the place that you are preparing for us. Lord, that we know that this world is not it, that there is so much more. And Lord, that we can anticipate that. We can anticipate that perfect place that we will be with you one day. And in the meantime, Lord, we know that you walk with us and that you are here with us this morning. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be active in our hearts and our minds. Help us, Lord, as we sing your praises, that we would worship you, Lord, as the amazing, wonderful God that you are, and that we would better understand, better apprehend, better embed in our hearts, Lord, that message of your salvation, so that we can live with confidence without fear, and so that we can just continue to be your people, worshiping you with our lives. All this we pray in your holy name. Amen.
This month our hymn is, "It Is Well With My Soul." Life can be so unpredictable. Joys and sorrows, beautiful blessings, and distressing difficulties can come unexpectedly. Our life's dreams and plans can change in an instant. We all know this to be true. So how can we find peace amid such turbulence? Perhaps we cannot always say that everything is well in all aspects of our lives. There will always be storms to face, and sometimes there will be tragedies. But our God has the power to overcome even the darkest times of our earthly life. With faith in a loving God and with trust in his divine help, we can confidently say, it is well with my soul.
Sorrows I've seen.
As we have come into our Father's presence, it is appropriate that we would lay our sins at the feet of the cross and receive forgiveness. So let us now confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, forgive all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated for the reading.
Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's. If you're a guest this morning, please introduce yourself to myself or somebody else. My name is Mike Kennedy, and it's my privilege to read. First reading is from the book of John, chapter 8. It's on 1525 in that black pew Bible in front of you. I would encourage you to read the Gospel of John. It's only 21 chapters. You can do it in 3 weeks, or you can do it in a day if you want. Jesus has been confronted by the Pharisees, and he just got done feeding 5,000 and healing and telling people to forgive those who have hurt you. And the Pharisees are out to kill him. And they confront him. And they say, the Jews answer him, "Aren't we right in saying that you're a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I am not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." At this, they exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets, yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You are not yet 50 years old," they said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" "Very truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. This is the word of the Lord.
All right. Now I know, I understand my place in this service today. I mean, we are here to worship God, but the children are about to come up and they're going to be singing today. And they're going to be proclaiming God's glory and God's forgiveness and God's love in their songs as well. So try not to be so distracted by the messengers and try to pay some attention to the message that they're going to be singing. It's such a wonderful blessing when the children actually get to teach us, isn't it? So, all right, kids, it is now time for you guys to come forward and sing for us.
And I would like all of you, that was fabulous, by the way. Can you just have a seat right where you are? Awesome. So it's time for the children's message. And I don't know if you heard Pastor Bob just a little bit ago. He said, it is so awesome when kids get to teach us, which you just did with your songs. And so we're going to give you a chance today, instead of me saying stuff, I'm going to let you teach them. You want to do that? Yeah. What? How does that? So listen carefully. I have some questions, and you guys can tell them the answers. And we're going to share with them what we learned at VBS. So, day number one, God knows me. There was a man named Jesse, and he had a bunch of sons. And Samuel went to him and said, one of your boys is going to be the next king. And so he brought out his older, bigger, stronger, really cool-looking oldest son. And Samuel said what?
No.
No, not him. So he brought out the next biggest one, and Samuel said no. And he brought him, and he brought him, and he... And finally, Samuel says, you have any more kids? And he said, yeah, I just have... How many more?
One.
And his name is?
David.
And what's he doing?
Shepherd.
Yeah, he's out with the sheep. And so he brought David in, and Samuel said, that's the guy. And the really important lesson was, Samuel told him, people look at the outside of us, what we look like, what we have, what we wear. But what does God look at?
Inside.
The inside at our heart. And God knows us. He knows our heart. Day number two. David's going to be the new king. But the guy that is the king, do you remember his name?
Saul.
Saul found out that David was going to be the next king. And how did Saul feel? Yeah, he was kind of mad. So David had to go run and hide. Where did he hide?
In a cave.
In a cave.
With 600 other people.
When he was in that cave, what did he do?
Pray.
He prayed.
And he wrote Psalms.
He did write Psalms. Did God hear his prayer?
Yes.
Does God hear your prayers?
Yes.
Does God answer your prayers?
Yes.
All of them?
Yes.
Does he answer their prayers?
Yes.
Yes, he did. That was day number two. Then we had this king named, do you remember that weird name?
Hezekiah.
And he was a good king. But there was an Assyrian king that didn't like Hezekiah or his people. And he threatened him, and he said bad things about the people, and he said bad things about God. And Hezekiah was kind of down in the dumps. And what did Hezekiah do? He prayed just like David did. Did God hear Hezekiah's prayer?
Yes.
He did. And God calmed Hezekiah down. And Hezekiah got to calm the people down. Now, this is kind of a hard question. I know we talked about this at Crafts. When all those people from the other country came and they were saying, your God's no good, your king's no good, you should follow us. What did the people say?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Not a single word.
Because do things get better when we argue and fight?
No.
No. And then God actually wiped out the whole army with what?
One angel.
Very cool. Day number four. One of Jesus' disciples and his really good friends named... Peter, good. When Jesus was being tortured and crucified, somebody said to Peter, you're Jesus' friend, right?
No.
And what did Peter say?
No.
Was that the truth?
No.
How many times did Peter do that?
Three
times. Then Jesus died, and he paid for all of our sins when he died, and he rose again. He came back to life. And then when he had another little visit with Peter on the beach one day, Jesus forgave him how many times?
Three times.
Three times. And that helps us all remember that no matter how many sins, no matter what our sins are, will God forgive them?
Yes.
Even if they're big?
Yes.
Even if there's a lot?
Yes.
All of them. And then on our last day, and I know some of you heard this story, some of you didn't hear maybe this one. There was a king of Persia, and he needed a new queen. And there was a Jewish orphan girl. And King Xerxes, they didn't even like the Jewish people. But there was a Jewish orphan, and her name was, does anybody remember?
Esther.
Can you guys say Esther?
Esther.
And so God chose Esther, this little girl that was kind of like not very important. He chose her to save the whole Jewish nation because the king loved her so much that he said, whatever you want, Esther, you can have it. What would you like? And she said, please save my people. And he did. Now, if all the Jewish people were wiped out, who would never be born?
Jesus!
Is that a pretty big deal?
Yes.
Does God choose you to do something important?
Yes.
So, I think, I'm going to ask them, I think you learned your lessons really well. Do you think they did okay?
Yeah.
So kids can be teachers too. Before we pray, I would like you to look out there, and I'm going to ask some people to raise their hands. And once you raise your hand, you go ahead and leave your hand up in the air. So if you were, I have a list here because you always hate lists because you always forget somebody. If you were a group leader or a helper, will you raise your hand? Okay, leave them up. If you worked with the snacks are awesome, right? If you work with snacks, okay, the snack queen is back there. If you did singing or dancing or video or tech or took pictures, put your hand up. If you told Bible stories, put your hand up. If you did decorations or you set up or you cleaned up or you locked up or you did security, put your hand up. If you did crafts or imagination station, put your hand up. If you had any kind of a donation or if you prayed for VBS, would you put your hand up? And if you are a parent that brought your kid here so that he or she could learn about Jesus and know all about how much God treasures them, put your hand up. Okay, look at all those people with their hands up. On three, I want you guys to say thank you. One, two, three.
Thank you!
Because they're the ones that helped you have such a great time. Let's close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, good job. Thank you for knowing me, hearing me, comforting me, forgiving me, and choosing me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat for just a second. I want to tell your mom and dad something. Thank you guys very much. For those of you that are visiting or new, we have a special thing that we do during the actual sermon time for little ones. 4 years old to fourth grade. We call it little worship. We take the kids that want to go. I have my teacher friends in the back. We're going to take the kids out of the sanctuary, have a teaching time for them, and then when the sermon is over, they call us, let us know, and we'll bring them back. So if your child would like to go to Little Worship, we're going to ask them to go down the front aisle, or if you would like your students to stay, that's great as well, and they'll be back after the sermon. And thank you for letting them be a part of something awesome that God is doing in our little young hearts. They're awesome. So, are you gonna hold that for me? Can you go down there by Mrs. Landgraf? And if you're going to little worship, check with your mom and dad. Come right here in the middle. And if you're going to stay with your mom and dad during the sermon, you can go back and sit with them. Okay? Good job, guys.
All right. So, my friends, that was extremely fun. I love having those little kids around. They're just amazing. And now we're going to be heading into our teaching time. And so let us begin by reading the sermon scripture reading for today, which is Acts chapter 2, verses 14 and then 22 to 36. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man born, accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also rests in hope, will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he was received from the Father, the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you see and hear now, and now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When I was a child, I was kind of a nerd. I don't know if you know people like that. I mean, I was one of the kids that made, like, as soon as the bell rang at the end of the school day, me and all my buddies would run to the computer lab so that we could code. And I mean, yeah, weird stuff. One of the other things I did, though, is we loved to play with, like, Rube Goldberg machines. Have you heard of those things? Those ridiculously complex cause-effect machines that are maddening to build. They're really, really hard to make because it requires not just a plan, but the perfect execution of a plan. And what we find out is that, I mean, it was like the silliest things that would make the machine not work. In fact, one time it was a matter of whether the window was open and blew the golf ball just a little off course. You know what I'm saying? Or it was whether I was standing on this side of the machine or this side of the machine, because the old house we were working in, the floor sagged just a little bit and it threw it off. I mean, the smallest thing would make this machine not work. You never realize how hard it is to execute a plan. And that's exactly what God is doing today. He is executing a plan. The idea with the Rube Goldberg machine is that the plan would be executed without any outside influence, that once it was set in motion, it would just work, go, and finish all by itself perfectly. God's plan did not work that way. I don't think it's because of a mistake that God made. I think it's part of the plan. That he and his plan of saving us is intimately involved. He gets involved in every step along the way. He also knows that he's working with us, who are not perfect, don't always get everything right, and if it was left to us, we would derail the plan all by ourselves. But the God who loves us put this plan together and held it on the rails and kept it going and is continuing to keep his plan of salvation going even today. And we'll do so until we are in heaven with him, cross the finish line, in a place where everything is going to be the way it should have been. You know, it's Trinity Sunday, and I think it's such an interesting thing as we look at the God that has revealed himself to us, the God is that has told us who he is and what he has done and how he is and what his loves are, what the things are that he detests. He tells us all these things in his word, and it's an amazing experience as you get to know this God who has told us about himself, introduced himself to us, and wants to actually have a personal relationship with us. I think a lot of times we think of God as like this big unknowable entity that is like somehow vastly above us and in control, and all of that is true, but it's not an unknown because he tells us. And one of the things he tells us about himself is that he is a God that is this three-in-one God. This God that is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is perplexing enough because, you know, you have this God that is somehow three persons, three different personalities, beings, whatever. But we have one God, right, which is interesting. And then, you know, Jesus is unabashed in the text for today. I love this stuff. When the first reading for today, I don't know if it snuck by you or not, but when Jesus was talking, he said, whoops, wrong reading. One more page back. He said, they asked him, they said, well, who do you think you are? And he said, very, very, I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. You know the intent of that word? I mean, where'd that word come from? That was the word that God used as his name when Moses was standing at the burning bush. When Moses told the Lord, he said, listen, if I'm gonna go talk to Pharaoh, I got what's your name? I gotta tell him who sent me. And he said, I am that I am. I am is his name. And when Jesus said that, you notice the religious leaders were like looking for stones to stone Jesus because they knew exactly what that meant. Jesus was saying, I am God. Those are some big words, you know. If it weren't true, he should have been stoned. But it's true. Jesus is God. We also know that the Creator, the Father, he is also God, right? And then we're very, very clear that this Holy Spirit that the Father and the Son together into the world is God. But we don't have three gods, we have one God, right? Father is God, Son is God, Holy Spirit is God. They're not parts of God, they are all God, but there is how many gods? One God. Thank you. Very good. Now, do you all understand very thoroughly what we do not understand? Good. If anybody gets this figured out, try again, because you probably got it wrong, right? Yeah, it's just, this is a very complex thing. It's a thing that we're not going to fully apprehend in this world, but thanks to God that he is this way, because this is his plan of salvation. Because what happened is in the beginning, when the Father was creating, you speaking the Word, which is the Son, and the Holy Spirit was hovering upon the face of the deep, God created all things, and he did it so perfectly and beautifully. I mean, you can see, you know, echoes of that perfect creation by looking at the natural world around us. You know, you see the unbelievable intricacies of creation. You see the complexity of the cell. You see the enormity of the cosmos and the planets and the stars and the things that we think is one star in the sky, but it's actually a cluster of galaxies, untold numbers of stars. And it's all out there, and it's all so complicated, and it's all so amazing. And we know that this God that made it was an amazing God. And then we, Adam and Eve, messed it up, right? But God wasn't done. He's just getting started. The Father, in the Garden of Eden, reveals a plan, the very beginning of a plan, just the seed, just the very beginning, basically saying this: yes, the world is sinful. Yes, you're going to have to toil for your food and toil for your life. Yes, there's going to be pain. But one day, there's one who is going to come. There's one day, there's one who is going to come, and he's going to set things right again. He's going to put this creation back on the right track. He's going to correct what is wrong. And what was wrong in the beginning was that very sin. It was the defective, that taint that Adam and Eve brought into the world because of that sin that tarnished everything, just took everything from its perfect state and just took it a little off. So now our cells replicate, but sometimes produce cancer. You know, sometimes the little things that broke down, you know, dead organisms and made dirt in the ground now make us sick. You know, now everything was just turned a little bit. Now the weather that was supposed to be all perfect and stuff is not perfect. And some places get too much rain, some places don't get enough rain. Some places can't decide whether they're getting enough or too much. Those are usually farmers, you know. It's either one or the other with farmers. I'm not exactly sure I understand how that goes. But nevertheless, it's just like, this is the world we live in. But the Father had a plan. And he spent the entire Old Testament preparing the world for his plan, revealing it to prophets, having it written down, taught to his people. When his people would wander, he called them back, whether it was, you know, whatever it took, because the necessity of his people to still be his people was so essential. They were the people through whom the Savior would come. And if those people had wandered away, who would recognize the Savior when he came? So he called them back constantly, constantly, constantly calls them back to himself. And at just the right time and at just the right place that had been revealed to the prophets in the city of David, this little town of Bethlehem, the Savior was born. And God the Son became a person. God, the Creator, became creation. Not that he stopped being God. I mean, he was still God. Well, which is another one of those mind benders, right? I mean, get this, right? This guy is now all God and all man. It's like right up there with the Trinity, right? I mean, it's like, do you understand what you don't know? You don't understand, right? And so we have this Jesus now who lives in this world, and he perfectly executes the plan of the Father. I mean, you see it over and over again. There's clues to this. I mean, he basically says, you know, somebody asks him to do something, and he goes, it is not time for that yet. I'm doing things in my Father's time. I'm doing what my Father says. And in Matthew, over and over again, it says, and he said this, and he did this to fulfill the prophecy that was spoken. And he pulls back out of the Old Testament, and he shows this was all God's plan. And the culmination of Jesus' ministry, his arrest and his mock trial and his crucifixion, for everybody watching, for the people who didn't quite understand yet, the people who don't have the benefit, our benefit of, you know, hindsight and looking back and seeing it for what it was, it looked like Jesus' ministry was ending in tragedy. It looked like it was all a failure. It was all for nothing. But it was always the Father's plan. And that even in the Garden of Gethsemane, before Jesus was arrested, he prayed, and he prayed for himself. And anybody going through something really, really difficult, praying for yourself is not selfish. Jesus did it. It's great. It's not just good, it's great. Pray for yourself. He also prayed for his 12 disciples, and then he prayed for you. Just think about that. Around 2,000 years ago in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was alone, anticipating his sacrifice for our benefit, anticipating the pain, anticipating the shame, anticipating death. And he was thinking about us. Because it's the reason he came. And so we have the Father who planned it all, the Son who walked it all out. And then last week we talked about the Holy Spirit and the coming of the Spirit upon the apostles, because here's the thing, this is an amazing thing. The entire purpose of God, what he has committed himself to throughout all of this time, was our salvation, was putting the world back together again, which is, you know, getting the sin back out of things and restoring what he created in the very beginning. And one of the most difficult things about the Rube Goldberg machine is eliminating pesky variables, right? The standing in the wrong place, the window open, whatever it would be that would throw things off. God did the unthinkable. He introduced to his church millions of pesky variables. They're called us. Because what he did is he invited into this plan of salvation his people. And he said, listen, he goes, the plan was planned perfectly. It was executed perfectly. We have the perfect salvation. We have the perfect life that Jesus lived attributed to you. And we have all of your sin and all the guilt that you have accumulated throughout your life was put on him, and he paid for it completely. And we know it because at the very end he said, it is. And if God says it, it's certain. So it's finished. And then he says, guys, I want you to be my messengers. I want you to take this out into the world, because you're going to need, lots of people need to hear it. And what an insane thing for God to do, to create this perfect salvation, this perfect plan, this executed perfectly, and then hand it over to a bunch of us to take it out into the world. Because the one thing about people is that we really mess things up. And so God had a plan for that too. And that's the Holy Spirit. That when we come to faith in Christ, it's because the Holy Spirit works in us through that word of God that brings about this faith that well, normally it's right here, the baptismal font, is that, you know, that when we baptize babies, when we baptize adults, it doesn't matter. It's that through the water and the word that God promises to act and to connect us to the Father in this an unbelievable and amazing lifelong way, this relationship that in a way changes nothing, because we go home to the same family in the same house, but it changes everything, because now we're going there as a child of God. And God takes these people that he loves so dearly, and he puts his Spirit in them. And he promises that this Spirit has real consequences. It really makes a difference, that this Spirit explains things and helps our brain apprehend, understand, and apply the truths of the scriptures that God is revealing to us. And that this Spirit, he puts words in our mouths when we get chances to bear witness. That when you're standing, he said this, he said, when you're standing in front of judges, because of your faith in me, don't worry about what you're going to say. I will give you words. I will speak through you. It won't be your words, it'll be mine. And the same thing goes for all of those opportunities when we can share our faith, that we don't have to rely on our own strength. We don't have to rely on our own wisdom. You know, all the people who say, well, I'm afraid I'll say it wrong. Well, is that really your department? You know, I mean, all you have to do is tell people what Jesus did for you, the difference that he's made in your life, how he died for them and loves them and has covered their sins so that they can go to heaven. That's all you have to do. It's not this incredibly complex thing Does theology get complex sometimes? Sure. But the part where you're introducing somebody to the God who saves, it's pretty straightforward. And so, here it is. This God that has dedicated himself to your salvation for thousands of years, bringing us to this point. And you know what our job is? This is great. Our job is to glory in it. You are so loved by the God of creation that he did all this for you. You are so doted on by God, the one who made all things, that he promises to be in you and with you all the time. That he hears you when you talk to him, even about silly stuff that shouldn't really matter. You know? You know those times, right? Where you're really upset about something that's dumb, and you know it's dumb, right? I mean, it's funny about emotions. They don't have to make sense. And so you're like really, really, really mad or upset or worried about something that's completely irrational, and you can freely admit it's completely irrational, and it doesn't change how upset you are. Go talk to God about that. He loves you so much, he even wants to hear about that. Isn't that incredible? It's not just the big things in life, it's everything. That the God of creation, he did all this, understand this, he did all this because he wants to be with you forever. He did this because without his plan of salvation, we would spend eternity separated from him, and he hates that idea. He did all this because he wants to spend eternity with you, and he wants your eternity to be perfect with him. This is the triune God we serve. A God of passion, a God of love, a God of long-suffering endurance, a God that is stubbornly forgiving, a God that pulls his people back to him, a God who loves you and will continue to love you even if you don't want him to sometimes. You ever have those kind of blessings? You know, they're called children. The blessings that hurt sometimes, right? And they're hard, and it's difficult, and it's stressful. But God has given us so many blessings like that. The challenges and the difficulties, the ministries and the outreaches, the places that we are stretched out of our comfort zone but have to keep on going anyway, all that. But don't worry, you're not in it alone. The triune God is with you. The Father planned for it. The Son executed it. And the Holy Spirit is walking you through it. So rely on him. Glory in his presence. Glory in his plan. Glory in the love. And let's all glory together as we anticipate the day when he sets everything right. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought us to yourself, that you have shown us who you are, that you have done such great things for us, and that we can have such confidence in this world knowing that we are your loved children. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us, draw us ever into a closer relationship with you, strengthen our faith, Lord, so that when the times get very difficult, Lord, we can rely on you. Thank you for all of this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends. It is now time to confess our faith. And what this is a concentration of all of the key teachings from Scripture. Packed together into this thing we call a creed. And when we're saying this creed, we are saying back to God what he has already told us about himself. All right? And you're going to notice that this creed is put into articles, which is, you know, one about the Father, one about the Son, one about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's work in the church. And so as we confess this together, We are basically confessing what our God has told us about himself. So please stand as we confess. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. And now it is time for the kids to come, the bigger kids to come forward, the high school kids that are going to be going on the National Youth Gathering and the Arizona mission trip. If you guys would come forward at this time, along with all the adults that are going on these trips too. And we're going to pray for them because the mission kids are going to be leaving Friday. The other ones are leaving in July sometime. What's that? The 7th? Okay, so not that far away. Wow. All right, folks. Well, first of all, I'm really excited for you guys. We're going to have we have some really amazing opportunities here in front of us. Either you're going to be going to the Navajo Reservation in Arizona, and we're going to be working on houses and building stuff, or you're going to be going to, Houston. That's right. I almost said New Orleans, but that was like last time. Houston, to basically undertake a whole bunch of different opportunities, everything from great talks and amazing concerts, and then also opportunities to serve and to do God's work there as well. So there's going to be some really awesome opportunities, and some of you are going to both. That's pretty cool. There's no question. That's awesome. So anyway, guys, listen. The thing that I wanted to bring to you is this. You know, God gave us the kind of the score sheet, you know, like a report card. And he was teaching his disciples, and he said, "Listen, here's what I'm going to be thinking about at the last day." And he says, "You know, when you see somebody who's hungry, you're going to give them food. When you see somebody who's thirsty, you're going to give them something to drink. When you see somebody who doesn't have any clothes, you give them clothes. When you see somebody who is sick or in prison, you visit them. You do these things." Because you love me, God, I mean, not to me, but you love Jesus, and because you love Jesus, you love the people that he loves. And so we serve, because we have been served by him. And I just really am glad that you guys have these opportunities. And I can't wait to hear the stories, because every night we have we get together and we talk about what happened that day on the mission trip and stuff, and it's amazing to see what God is doing. You know, every mission trip is a blank slate, and God fills it with amazing stories of his work and his provision and his giving us opportunities we wouldn't have even a thought to ask for. And so I can't wait until we come back with all the new stories. So, guys, you want to pray? And can you pray for us? And while we are on these trips, please continue to pray for your kids. These are the people that we are all responsible for, to continue to raise in the faith and continue to help as they grow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the God of all. Amazing God. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with these young people, Lord. Bless us as we head on our trips. Keep us safe as we travel. Prepare in advance, Lord, the mission, the ministry, the opportunities that you have for us when we get there. I pray that you would speak through us, Lord, that we can encourage one another as we are on this trip, that when one person gets weak and not one of their teammates, Lord, can remind them of the purpose and the goal and pick them up and help them to carry on. I pray that you would be with us, Lord, to have the words to say when we have opportunities to speak about you to the people on these trips. Lord, thank you so much for giving us these opportunities. Thank you so much for always providing us, Lord, all that we need so that we can continue to grow in you. Thank you, Lord, for these people. and for the people we're going to be serving. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, guys. Thank you so much. And with that, it's time to pray. So as we pray today, we want to pray for all the families we're able to reach. We want to thank God for all those who are able to serve. We want to pray for the ongoing ministries at St. Mark's, God's provision of the new teachers that we needed for the school. There's just so many ways that God is continuing to work through us. So let us give him thanks and praise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your great love, for your provision, for your calling us into this body, Lord, and making us your children. I pray that you would continue to do your work, provide for your church, help us, Lord, give us wisdom, give us direction, show us what it is that we get to do, Lord, give us the words when we get to speak. Lord, we pray that you would just continue to be that God that executes a perfect plan, even using people as such as us. Lord, I pray that you would be active in this world, Lord. All the people that we were able to reach out and talk to, Lord, the children that we were able to love, the children we were able to teach about you, Lord, I pray for them that their faith would continue to grow and that their parents, Lord, would be blessed with an ever-growing faith, Lord, so that through the difficult times of life, they would know that you are with them and that, Lord, that we all would know that on the last day, things just get better from there. Pray that you would continue, Lord, to be with all of us who do ministry, Lord. We pray for the ministry to the blind that meets at St. Mark's. I pray, Lord, for the people who are able to take part in that ministry, that they would know with firmness of heart, Lord, with the firmness of faith that only you can give, that they are loved and that they are also treasured by you, precious in your sight, and that you have a plan for each and every one of them. Lord, I pray that you would be with the teachers of our school, Lord, as they're on break, sort of, as they're not working at VBS. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to be with them, help renew them, help them to be strong in you, Lord, so that they can return and proclaim your amazing message of salvation to the children once again next school year. And Lord, I pray for this world. There's so much that's not right, so much that sin has bent and broken, and so many people who are heading in directions that are destructive to themselves and to the people around them. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be your people in this world, that we would be able to speak truth in love, that we would be able to continue, Lord, to help people to find faith in you, Lord, that they would be able to hear your word, that your spirit would change their hearts, and that they would be able to receive your forgiveness, your renewal, and that they would be able to live their lives in you, and that more people would be added to the numbers that are in heaven glorifying you forever. Oh, Jesus, all these things we pray in your holy name, and we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." terrible thing when you run out of cups and stuff, isn't it? I mean, it's like running out of parking spots or needing to add on to the church. It's the kind of problems you want to have. So, but yeah, we have been served today by a God that is above all gods, a God that is just absolutely amazing, that walks with us every step through life, and because he knows we need it, he offers us this gift that gives us forgiveness of sins and then feeds us and gives us spiritual work so that we can get back out into the world and be his people and live the life that he has for us, carry out those good works that he has prepared for in advance for us to do. So as we have received his body and blood this morning and his gifts, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together.
Thank you.
All right, my friends, a few announcements. First of all, Guatemala mission trip is October 15th to 22nd. So if any adults, this is an adult trip. So if anybody wants to go down to Guatemala and work with me, we usually build a house, do a kids club, vacation Bible school type thing, and work in schools and stuff. So there's like a whole bunch of stuff that goes into it. I just want to warn you, if you do go, it will be in your blood and you will have a hard time not going in the future. So just so you know. Let's see here. Welcome to all the VBS visitors. It's so good to see you guys all here. I'm so glad you joined us today. And diaper drive. This is our next week is the last week of the diaper drive. So bring them in. And after the service today, there's no Sunday school today, but we do have adult Bible study that'll be in the church after the service today.